Hello, happy Thursday evening. I'm Molly McAllister.
And I'm Spencer Williams, and this is All Access Pass.
We're broadcasting from CITR 101.9 in Vancouver on the unceded territory of the Hookaminam-speaking Musqueam people. This show is created by the Access Collective at CITR, and tonight we're airing the third episode of our show. Tonight's episode focuses on the accessibility for students and young adults who have autism in post-secondary settings as well as in the music industry. Over the next hour, the show will include a live interview with Dr. Rashmeen Nirmal, psychologist and PhD graduate from UBC, and an introduction to a UK band called The Autistics, along with some of their music. We're going to start you off with a song from local artist Chris Witowski. Here is Shine. Welcome back to All Access Pass. So this past Tuesday, I attended a colloquium where psychologist and UBC PhD graduate Dr. Rashmi Nirmal presented her talk titled, In Their Own Words, The Experiences of Students with High-Functioning Autism Attending College or University. She presented her doctoral research that focused on supporting young adults with high-functioning autism in college and university settings. Thanks for joining me in studio, Rashmeen.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Could you start off by giving us a brief description of the PhD research you did at UBC?
Sure, absolutely. So as part of my study, I looked at the meaning of the lived experiences of students diagnosed with high-functioning autism spectrum disorder, or Asperger's syndrome, attending college or university. It was a great study. It illuminated a lot of strengths and challenges that students with autism spectrum disorder are experiencing in post-secondary education.
Cool. Can you tell us a little bit about why you pursued this topic, or what was it that inspired you to highlight this specific issue?
Sure. Back in 2008, I completed my master's internship at the Provincial Outreach Program for Autism and Related Disorders. And as part of that internship, I traveled around British Columbia, providing consultation and psychoeducational assessment for children and teens with autism spectrum disorder. And it was during that year that I often pondered to myself, what supports are available for teens with ASD when they transition out of secondary school? Are they good candidates for post-secondary education? Are they able to enter the employment force, the workforce, without too many difficulties? Are they going to live at home? Are they going to live independently? And there were a lot of question marks for me back then, and that's what really motivated me to pursue this as an area during my PhD and pursue it as my doctoral dissertation.
Okay, were you exposed to any kind of work with students or children with autism before you were doing that work? In your past, maybe as a student, someone closer to age than me or Spencer. I don't know, what was your experience before you were involved in your master's program?
That's a great question, and it's a question I get asked quite frequently. You know, what brought you to where you are today in terms of your profession, and what has motivated you? Reflecting back, I think what had a pretty key influence is the fact that my father is a psychologist, and he focused a lot of his practice on children and teens with neurodevelopmental disabilities and genetic syndromes such as Down syndrome. So I was frequently around children and teens with disabilities growing up, and I saw the profound influence that my father had on their development and on support implementation. And I think that had to have had some sort of influence in me pursuing psychology in my undergrad and then pursuing further studies in graduate school.
Great. You're kind of continuing on the legacy that your dad started.
I'm trying.
Yeah, it's really neat to see that. So as this show, All Access Pass, is focused on issues of accessibility, what we'd love to explore with you are the barriers to accessible post-secondary education and ways to make it more accessible to everyone, especially here at UBC. As you presented in your research on Tuesday, despite having the neurocognitive and academic ability to attend college or university, many students with ASD either don't enroll or drop out soon after starting. What are some of the factors that you think deter or stop these students from applying to post-secondary education?
I think that's a great question, and it's a multi-faceted answer. I don't think there's one direct answer to that. There are cardinal features of autism spectrum disorder that are likely to hinder the potential of students with ASD in high school and in their transition to post-secondary education. Part of that is related to their social communication deficits, so having back and forth conversations with others, and eliciting the thoughts of others, asking them questions, entering and exiting conversations, all things that we, some of us take for granted that are quite difficult for folks on the autism spectrum. Another area that I think is related to their challenges in making that transition is a fancy word called difficulties in adaptive behavior functioning. So that is the child or the teen's ability or more so their independent daily living skills. What can they do on their own without the help of parents and teachers and other adults structuring their day-to-day living? So, for example, organizing their day, going from class to class, ensuring that homework is going home, ensuring that homework is coming back, making meals, general personal care. Those are all things and are all skills that we develop in our child and adolescent years, but are often delayed in students with ASD. So I think those are a few factors making it difficult for that transition to occur to post-secondary education. Again, it's a big question and we could talk for an hour about that, but those are a few areas.
Yeah, we absolutely could. There is definitely a lot of factors affecting those things. So for the students who, are ready to go to university, have prepared, really want to do this, but are still maybe not enrolling right away or not having the encouragement from other people to enroll. Do you think that there's changes that high schools can make for helping that transition, or just, shining a light on the fact that students with autism in high school are welcomed at places like UBC and other colleges and could be really successful there and could really enjoy their time? Do you think that there's an improvement that could be made at high schools?
Again, a great question. When we think about transitions and transition support, we really need to keep the mindset of prevention and intervention. So how can we prevent some of these issues from occurring that's going to hinder these students' ability to transition effectively to post-secondary education? And what interventions can we implement to provide them the skills in order to make those effective interventions? And so I think that secondary schools overall do a great job within their capacity and the resources that are available to them. However, there's always room for improvement, regardless of what system we're talking about. I think in high school, it starts with capacity building. Mm-hmm. And what I mean by that is education for students with autism,
right,
parents of students with autism, mm-hmm, and school staff members to have a better idea of the strengths and challenges that students with ASD encounter on a daily basis. Once we have a good understanding of the disorder and the needs of this group, then we can do a better job of implementing strategies that are going to be more in line with what is needed. So that's one part of it. The other part of it is building skills in students with autism spectrum disorder. So building self-advocacy skills. And part of that is understanding one's strengths and weaknesses, mm-hmm, and how that's going to affect their socialization, how that's going to affect their vocational outcomes, their transition to post-secondary education, and just becoming more aware of their strengths and weaknesses. So that's another part of it.
Mm-hmm.
And then a third part of it is school staff, students with autism spectrum disorder, and families understanding the fundamental differences between secondary school and post-secondary education, because there's a lot of systemic differences in terms of access to supports.
Yeah, that's a really great point. I think all students that come to university experience those differences, and you can feel kind of let loose into the shark tank as a university student. You come here and you don't have those adult supports or advocates, and you do kind of have to do a lot of it on your own.
And you bring up a good point. I don't mean to interrupt, but all students experience a transition, right? Mm-hmm. All students, including myself, face challenges in terms of managing a very rigorous post-secondary curriculum. Mm-hmm. So for our students with autism spectrum disorder, you think about having to meet those demands that every other student has to with the overlay of the autism symptoms.
Mm-hmm.
It really helps put it into perspective.
It does, for sure. So for the students who have ASD and come to university, in your research, you also talked about how it's a common situation where a lot of those students are dropping out before they're finished their degree, and oftentimes in the first year. What are a few of the reasons why this happens?
That's a great question. Again, so we don't really have, to date, to the best of my knowledge, any empirical research showing that students with autism are more likely to drop out. However, a lot of researchers or professionals are purporting that, you know, based on what we know about ASD.
Right.
In terms of the findings of my research, one of the main themes, there were eight themes that were derived from the data, and one was managing academic expectations. And so in post-secondary education, as you know, the demands are rigorous. They're ever-changing. You're moving from class to class, professor to professor. You're in a new, large environment, a different physical environment than what you're used to in high school. You don't have the luxury of your educational assistant with you, your parents making sure that your homework's going to and from school, yeah, packing your lunches, etc. So when you think about all the independent daily living skills that are needed in college or university, that's an area that's quite hard for some young adults with autism. So I think in part that's what makes staying in school a little bit harder, taking a full course load, organizing materials, organizing class schedules, exam schedules, paper schedules, managing time. And all of that together really results, according to my study, in this overwhelming, feeling quite overwhelmed.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one factor.
Yeah, that's definitely something that I think resonates with lots of students. And, you know, we could probably feel a lot of empathy for someone who's feeling extremely overwhelmed and, it makes perfect sense. So your research included interviews with 12 different students who are diagnosed with either autism spectrum disorder or Asperger's disorder, and you investigated their lived experiences that they had at university and college. So I took a quote from one of your interviews, and it reads, "I shut down a little bit. I felt anxiety build up and anger and fear. I was reluctant to ask for help, as usually am. By the time I started saying, 'I don't know what to do, help,' they," as in the professors, "didn't know what to do either. They didn't have the support for helping someone like me." So that was from one of the students you interviewed. Mm-hmm. I think this points to perhaps a flaw maybe within the institutions themselves, where the faculty aren't trained or prepared in how to support these students. What are some things that the university can do? So we see, you know, some of the things that the students maybe can work on, or changes that they can make, things that they can work out in their daily routines. But going back to the school's responsibility in supporting their students, how could we address a problem like the one that this student has brought up in their interview?
I'm glad you read that quote, because I think it illuminates more than one issue. So at the beginning of the quote, that particular student said, "I was reluctant to ask for help, as I usually am." So I think that the beginning of that quote illustrates the difficulty in the self-advocacy.
Right.
So understanding how autism spectrum disorder is affecting him, understanding or maybe even accepting that there are some weaknesses or some challenges that he's having, and the steps to go and to seek help in that area. So that's one part of that quote. And then the second part of the quote was, they as in the professors, didn't have the support for someone like me.
Yeah.
So to help answer your question, I think what post-secondary institutions can do, and they're certainly moving in this direction, is better disability awareness with respect to autism spectrum disorder. All these kids who were diagnosed with ASD in early childhood, who received intensive intervention, have grown up. And that's why they're making that transition to post-secondary education, because of the great support they received when they were younger. However, post-secondary institutions historically are more accustomed to working with students with learning disabilities, ADHD, and physical disabilities. So this is a really new kind of disorder that professors and disability offices are facing.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it starts with awareness of ASD. What is it? What are the needs of this group, this population? So it starts certainly with awareness.
Okay, and what does disability awareness and specifically ASD awareness look like at university?
Sure. That's a great question, Molly. So what does it look like? Well, a simple question. What is autism spectrum disorder? You know, a lot of people think about things like Rain Man might come to their mind immediately, or someone with a savant skill. But those folks don't necessarily represent autism. It's a spectrum, so there's going to be a range. So what folks may choose to do or may wish to do is look at the similarities of students with ASD to other students with disabilities. So students with LD, learning disabilities and ADHD may have academic challenges and need educational accommodations such as extra time for examinations or a separate setting, a quiet setting to take their examinations. And students with ASD are no exception to that. So they're very similar in that respect.
Right.
However, what's unique about autism are the social communication deficits and a fancy word called executive functioning deficits, which is basically our ability to plan, organize, monitor our day, self-regulate our day. And I think if folks had a better idea of those two areas and how they impact socialization and academic function in post-secondary education, that would be a good place to start.
Okay, yeah. So listening to what you just said there, and as well as when I attended your talk on Tuesday, I think that a lot of the stories that you shared from your interviews really resonated with me, and I think resonated with other university students who are attending your talk. I'll just read another quote that kind of touches on this and also brings in the idea of the transition from high school to university and maybe one of the reasons why these students are really drawn to university as well. So the quote reads, "Everyone treats you differently in college. They treat you more like an adult now. Less condescending, I would say. They don't really try to baby you, like in high school where they kind of treat you as if you're below them." So that quote really resonated with me because it made me think, oh my goodness, when I was in high school, how were these students experiencing high school? Lots of people face social problems or just all teenage problems in high school can be a difficult place. I think when a lot of us come to university, we recognize that and we want to be a part of a bigger social change and support everybody and make university a really accessible and inclusive space. Mm-hmm. So how can other students help to make a difference for these students with autism spectrum disorder?
Another great question. I think I have a few responses to that. It goes similar to my response with the professors in disability services is I think students, university students, can take it upon themselves to educate themselves on autism spectrum disorder and what it is.
Right.
I think one of the challenges that students on the spectrum face in post-secondary education is engaging in group work with others, being in a classroom environment with quite possibly hundreds of students, having to get up in the front of the class and do presentations, group study sessions. And a few of my participants did express if only they knew how hard it was for us or it is for us to be in a study session or to do group work, if they could just exercise a little bit more patience and understanding, it would make the world of difference. There's an issue to that, and the issue is how can the students act that way if they don't know the person has autism?
Right.
However, I think it points to how, keeping in line with the topic of this radio, the session is inclusion and being respectful of individual differences, whether or not there's a disability present or not.
Yeah.
Each person has something unique to bring to the table. If you sense that someone has a few oddities or is showing behaviors that may not be typical, take a step back and say, okay, how can I make this more comfortable for this student? Maybe I can talk slower. Maybe I can encourage their participation. And so again, it goes back to awareness of ASD, but also being respectful and appreciative of individual differences, regardless if there's a disability or not.
Yeah. Great, thanks. I think that's really fantastic advice. So I'm also someone who's part of a mentorship program at UBC with Access and Diversity, and it is one of the newer type of programs that's been put in place at universities for students with ASD and helping university be accessible for them and for them to have success. There's also programs like you touched on before, disability awareness, and like hopefully some policy development. Where do we go from here in advancing the accessibility of university? Because it's, I think, just in its beginning stages of helping this demographic of students. What are some more ways that we can move this forward?
The post-secondary institutions in North America are certainly moving in the right direction with respect to providing supports for students with ASD, and peer mentorship programs like the one that you participate in is probably one of the main ones that's gaining more attention and implementation. Mm-hmm. So going back to what can students do, students can volunteer. They can get a good understanding of ASD, and if they're interested, volunteering in programs such as peer mentorship programs. So I think it starts with implementing peer mentorship programs, learning from other universities, both here in Canada or in British Columbia and the United States, with respect to how they're running their programs. There are some literature looking at peer mentorship programs with ASD, but we really are in the infancy stages of what those programs should look like, and there's quite a variation. So I think with post-secondary institutions continuing in that direction, being open to learning and implementing ASD-specific supports, such as peer mentorship programs, taking it a step further, maybe looking at implementing social skills intervention groups, where you're directly teaching social skills, maybe having university students without autism be a part of that as part of the role play and the modeling of what social interactions can look like in different situations. And then also with an emphasis on social skills for employment settings.
Right.
Because as you mentioned earlier that you picked up from the talk, this group generally has the neurocognitive ability and academic ability to do well, particularly in STEM programs, science, technology, engineering, and math. So a lot of these students can do very well academically, but now we need to look at how do we translate those skills
right.
to the employment sector.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a gap there too.
Yes.
So there's lots of great ideas, and I think folks are moving into bringing those ideas to fruition.
Great, thanks. So just kind of finishing our interview off, you know, I've seen just by interviewing you now and by looking into some of your research and going to your colloquium, you've done some really important work, and you've probably also experienced and seen a lot of both the successes and struggles that these students are facing and just the whole system in general. How would you say you measure success in your field for the, you know, the hard work that you're doing and contributing to this field? How do you, I mean, you can see that you're successful. You have a PhD. You've published some really amazing research. But how do you measure success overall in how maybe, let's just say, society or educational systems support this population? Or how do we go forward and measure success? How do we know that we're doing a good job?
That's a big question, Molly. It comes down to how do you define success?
Mm-hmm.
You could ask 10 people,
yeah.
How do you define success? And you might get 10 different answers. I think to measure success is to implement attainable goals.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we need to keep in mind for children and teens with autism. What are attainable goals for them? Are they in keeping with their ability? Are we setting them up for success, or are we setting them up for failure? So I think being very clear about goals, making them small so we can experience success,
mm-hmm.
And going from there. So I think it comes down to how do you define success? For
Absolutely.
Me, I set daily goals and I've got larger goals, and each day I feel like I'm being successful in attaining those. For example, being here and disseminating some of the knowledge from the research.
Great. Thanks so much. I think that's a really poignant way to end the interview, because one of the goals I had coming into this job, and I think one of the goals that we have with our show, All Access Pass, is to make radio and school and just all facets of life accessible to everybody and for everyone to have success. So it's been fantastic having you on the show, and I love that we got to finish on that note. So thank you so much for joining me today, Dr. Nirmal. It's a pleasure to have you in the studio, and maybe we can talk more in the future
Sure.
about more of the work that you're doing.
Thank you for having me.
So right now we're going to send you to a song. Here is Winter Star by local Vancouver musician Ashley Amon.
Better get yourself together, honey bun. Better get yourself up and begin to get your business done. Around that way we turn it into children of the sun. When they stop, see. me, well, they better run. We shoot comets up into the sky to hit the moon. We got the hunger and the light to move in hot pursuit. Keep them rolling through the night, no matter what you do. Soon you see positivity could follow you. Oh, 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 oh. Yes, you do. Hey, there's three letters in the sand of my mind, red. And so it's over and I fell out of time. Called your name across the heart of the matter. And then I, my own, I did it. One stroke here between the lines. Broke the treasure in the wilderness. What did you find? Broken, humble animal, will not leave you behind. Oh, no. Winter sky, you're a winter sky. Glorious, cutting into navy blue. Winter sky, you're a winter sky. Glorious, cutting into navy blue. Yes, you do.
Magazine and everything.
That's right, Discorder.
Wishes we had. Yeah. We always wanted a magazine like that back in the day.
Yeah.
My campus radio roots go deep.
We just actually reformatted the Discorder, so it's now in this new cool zine size, and we're really excited about it.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that was always the cool thing when it came into the station. We're always like, oh man, this is so cool. How do we get this going? And it's really cool that it's all like even sponsored and everything.
Yeah.
It's fun. It's
yeah.
This is Sasha Bellot, and you are listening to CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver.
Hey, why so sad?
Oh, nothing, really.
Not very convincing, Jane girl. Whatever it is, I've got just the cure for it.
One, two, three, four.
Did you know CITR has a women's collective? This brand new collective is all about providing and fostering a community for women who are or who want to be in radio, fighting the gender disparity in media, and centering women's voices and issues. If you are a female-identified person or ally who's already involved in radio or wants somewhere to start, this collective is for you. Email womenscollective@citr.ca for more information and to get involved.
And tune in Friday at 6 p.m. for the collective show, Lady Radio, featuring music, interviews, events, news, commentary, basically anything we care to talk about.
See you then.
Well, how do you like it?
There's only one word for it. Terrific.
You know, I'm so proud of it, it's almost indecent of me.
You're listening to CITR 101.9. Broadcasting from UBC's Point Grey campus, located on the traditional, unceded Coast Salish territory of the Hunkaminam-speaking Musqueam people.
Welcome back to All Access Pass on CITR 101.9. We hoped you enjoyed that interview with Dr. Nirmal and that song that followed, Winter Star by Ashley Hyman. We're going to stay on the topic of the accessibility of society and education and music for people with autism spectrum disorder. And we're going to switch it over to the music side of things. So tied in with that theme, the band we're about to share with you represents the accessibility of the music world for young adults with autism. This one is a super cool story, and it's really a privilege for us to be able to play music on All Access Pass from this demographic of musicians that is continually underrepresented in the music industry, but really have amazing talent that deserves to be shared with the world.
Formed in 2010, Autistics, a unique rock band whose youngest members, Jack, Luke, and Saul, have autism. And both Jack and Saul's dad are members of the band. The band both embraces opportunity and to be creative with their music as well as capitalizes on opportunity to develop musically, personally, and socially. Here is Just the Same by the Autistics.
Thank you.
That was the Autistics. The rock band has worked to promote autism awareness and has spearheaded implementing legislation for people with disabilities. They've performed at clubs and benefits around England and just this past spring toured through Spain. Here is I Can't Take It Anymore from the Autistics.
Rock bands Taco Cat and Sally Ford are co-headlining on Saturday, December 12th at the Cobalt. Doors open at 7 with the show starting at 8:30. This event is 19+. You can get your tickets today online at timberconcerts.com or at Red Cat and Zulu Records.
Mark your calendars. The Dead Ghosts LP release show is coming soon. Join us November 28th at 8 o'clock at the Cobalt to celebrate with these Vancouver psych rockers, plus guests the Shivas and Strange Things. Find tickets online now at timberconcerts.com or at Red Cat and Zulu Records.
Hi, my name's Matthew. When I first got back from a military tour in Afghanistan, anytime I heard a siren or even a car alarm, I'd lose it completely. I would turn into a wild man, screaming, waving my arms. People would yell at me, "Shut up, you crazy. Get a job, would ya?" Well, I didn't go out and get a job. I got help instead. Now, I'm in a clean and safe apartment. I have friends and helpers who understand me. I landed a decent job. But I gotta admit, I still don't like car alarms or sirens. I used to think mental illness was a death sentence. I got life instead.
This message was produced by Columbian Center Society and Radio Malaspina in British Columbia.
Hello, welcome back to All Access Pass. So you just heard two songs from The Autistics. That's the rock band from London, UK. That band's really unique, as Spencer pointed out before. The three youngest members of the band have autism. They are the drummer, one of the guitarists, and the bass player, and they also, two of them, do backup vocals. It's another really neat component if you YouTube the band and read a little bit about them. I think there's a short documentary as well. You can hear two of the dads speak about their experience on the band, and it's really touching to see. To see what they have to say. Tying it back now to the interview that we did with Dr. Nirmal, and she talked about students with autism spectrum disorder at university and the struggles they face, but also the ways that universities can change. I think it's important too that we incorporate both the topic of academia and accessibility for people with autism, but also other facets of life, like the music industry, like the workforce. As she mentioned, there's the advancement in post-secondary programs for students with ASD and other disabilities, but there definitely is that big gap between once you graduate university, once you get through university, and then getting a job. And, maybe there's some people who are facing discrimination in the workforce trying to get a job, or just aren't being able to maybe go out and get interviews, go out and get good contacts, good networking. These are things that we can hopefully touch on, in future episodes, because I think they're really important, but they deserve more time and more work for sure. On All Access Pass, which is the show you're listening to right now, run by the Accessibility Collective, we would love to have people of all abilities come and get involved in the collective. If you're interested, you can email us at accessibilitycollective@citr.ca. We are definitely looking for more members or looking for people that have content that they want to contribute. We're open to everything. Today's episode focused on autism awareness, disability awareness, the music industry. But as if you've listened to episodes in the past, we've touched on mental health initiatives on campus and other things that are going on in the community. So feel free to come get involved with All Access Pass. I'm going to send it back to a song. This is What I Came Here For by Luca Fogel.
I don't mind that I forgot what I came here for. Let's find a little shelter and play a game of hide and seek. Oh, maybe for an hour, maybe for a day, for a week. I do my sleeping in the winters. Let's just leave our living for the spring. But don't you worry for a second, child, cause I'll take care of everything. Got you in my arms, I don't mind that I forgot what I came here for. As long as I've got you in my arms, I don't mind that I forgot what I came here for. I got what I came here for.
All right, that was Luca Fogel with What I Came Here For. So I just want to touch on something that's happening next week and something that we'll be covering on our show next Thursday. On Tuesday night, this coming Tuesday, at 7 o'clock at Venue Nightclub in downtown, there is a series or a panel series being put on that's coincidentally also called All Access Pass, PASS standing for Promoting Accessible and Safe Spaces. It's going to be talking about how the nightlife and music culture, night culture in Vancouver can become more accessible. And I'm really excited to see what happens with that. And please tune in next week to hear more about it. We'll also be doing an interview at some point, hopefully next week, maybe the week after, with Zoe, who used to be the volunteer coordinator here at CITR. And she'll be able to tell us a little bit more about it. Rachel Sullivan is also presenting at that talk or at that panel series. And she works at UBC with UBC Equity and Enhancement. So coming on in about 4 minutes, the next show is Are You Aware? And we hope you tune in next week for our fourth episode. Spencer, do you want to throw us to our last song?
Here is Not Broken We Are by Alexandra Milo.
Show you things. Happiness, it seems, is just around the bend. I can help you mend your wounds. I could be